We want to thank you for listening today. This audio sermon is a ministry of Faith Baptist Church, a place where you belong. Now let's listen to the message of truth from God's Word.
Morning. Turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 14, and you can hold your place there. I'm going to read a lot of scripture this morning. Much of it will be on the screens. Other places, if it's not, you can feel free to turn, and I encourage you to do so. I want to share a blessing with you this morning. I just found out from one of our faithful Sunday school teachers. There's a young man we've been praying for 2 weeks, and she came up here this morning and said that that young man entered into a relationship with Jesus Christ. Isn't that wonderful? I want to take the opportunity to put a little plug in. I'm starting a new Sunday school class. Actually started last week. It's at the 11 o'clock hour. I know you're here. I know there are some dynamic classes at the 9:30 hour. I'm pretty sure mine's better than those. But if you are looking for a class, a place to plug in, I would like you to consider that. We want to get you plugged in to our small group ministries, our growth groups. It's a fantastic place to be. Before I get started, I need to give a shout out to those in the balcony. I mean, that's where my wife is sitting with my brother-in-law and my sister-in-law, and that's where we normally sit. So balcony, let's hear it this morning. Yes, they are up there, and they're judging you. Well, you know the title, the Mythbusters, Only God Can Judge Me. Romans chapter 14, and we're going to kind of look here. You'll see where a lot of people get this. Verse 4, who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holding up, for God is able to make him stand. We go down to verse 12, so then every one of us shall give an account of himself to who? To God. In verse 13, let us not therefore judge one another any more, first part says. And so a lot of people take that, and they think, well, only God can judge me. Do me a favor. Turn to your neighbor and say, only God can judge me. All right, now we gotta flare this up a little bit. I need you to look at your other neighbor and this time say it with some attitude. Come on now, say it with some attitude. Very good. Now I want you to turn around to both of those people and I want you to say, I could be wrong. Go ahead, turn around and just say, I could be wrong. Yeah. All right, rein it in now. Some of you are getting out of control. Listen to this quote, Soren Kierkegaard. He's a Danish philosopher and theologian. He said, the human race in the course of time has taken the liberty of softening and softening Christianity until at last we have contrived to make it exactly the opposite of what it is in the New Testament. Now, I agree with Kierkegaard that we try at every turn to define Christianity on our own terms, instead of the way that God has outlined it in the scriptures. You know, the mantra, only God can judge me, is for some people exactly that. It's a mantra. Let me define a mantra. A mantra is a word or phrase that is repeated often or that expresses someone's basic beliefs. I used to use this mantra myself quite often in my life. even as a Christian, I didn't say the words, only God can judge me. But, you know, even after I got saved when I was young, came from a broken home, and I played this game where I thought I was okay with God and I wasn't, whatnot. But there were times in my life that I employed only God can judge me as a means of excusing my sinful behavior. I knew it was sin. I knew it wasn't what God wanted, but I just justified it by my mind thinking, it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks, it only matters what God thinks. Only God can judge me. And I shared this phrase. We can say only God can judge me. Let me tell you something. He's going to judge us. There's coming a day where he will judge us. I don't recommend you go listen to these songs, but let me share something with you. The late rapper Tupac Shakur, definitely not my style of music. He wrote a song, Only God Can Judge Me. And I did some research and I stopped. I believe it to be in excess, well in excess, but I stopped. It was several different platforms in which this has been downloaded, just on YouTube, over 60 million times. And here's the chorus, and I really can't read it all exactly the way it was. Understand? but only God can judge me. Is that right? Only God can judge me now. Only God, baby. Nobody else. Nobody else. Get out of my business. Right? Now, that's been a few years. Let's make it present day a little bit more, can I? How about, there's this, I don't suggest you go out and rent all the movies, but there is the franchise, The Fast and the Furious. I think there's Fast and Furious 7. They're playing in 12 or 13 already. Who knows? Okay? But there's this song that's with the franchise that says, we own it. And here's the chorus. I never fear death or dying. I only fear never trying. I am whatever I am. Only God can judge me now. This mantra of only God can judge me has permeated our society. And I want you to see today, part of what I want you to see clearly in Scripture is that God never intended for His children to do life alone. And it's a kind of a cop-out to say, well, only God can judge me. It's an excuse to dismiss the Holy Spirit in our lives. You may identify with some of these. God said it's not good that a man should be alone, so He created Adam and Eve. There's another verse that says, where two or three are gathered together in my name. You know it. Two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Jesus traveled around the countryside alone. No, He took disciples. And He took liberty to invest into them, didn't He? I'm passionate about this message because of the biblical mandate that we also see intertwined here for discipleship. Discipleship by God's design produces authentic community. It does. We're to have authentic community. Because there's a place where this is the place where discipleship can best happen when it's done in community. But discipleship and community are the greatest challenges of the Western church. This mantra, this philosophy that only God can judge me isn't just what people who don't know the Lord, people who have never accepted Jesus Christ, they have knowledge of God, but they've never made Him Lord and Savior of their life. They employ that mantra, but I believe so do Christians, as I've shared. You know, we come into church, if we're not careful, and we're around other people, and we think, well, you know, I can't look, and I can't judge them, and oftentimes there's sin in our life, and we see a brother or sister erring in the gospel, and we say, well, you know, who am I to judge? Because maybe you're not right with God, whatever. And when we look the other way, we're kind of employing that statement of, well, only God can judge. That's not my place. But that's not what Scripture says. And we're going to look at these things so we can properly understand these things. When someone receives Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, by the way, what a precious thing that is. When someone realizes that there's nothing good about me, I know about God. When we get to the place where we run to God and we say, God, I realize I am a sinner. I realize that my sins have separated me from You. And I realize that You sent Your Son to do what I never could. And He took my sins upon Him and He gave His life for me. And He shed His blood for me. And He conquered death in the grave. And I understand, God, He sits at the right hand and He intercedes for me. Thank You, God, for doing that. When someone receives Jesus Christ, here's what happens. They accept the mandate. We have accepted the mandate and a lifelong journey as a disciple, which in turn becomes, we become disciple makers. Matthew chapter 28, beginning in verse 19, very familiar passage, you know it. It says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. And let me share this with you, that we are to go. And the mandate to teach means we can't turn the other way. We can't look the other way when we need to be involved. The mantra of only God can judge me doesn't work for the lost person, and it doesn't work for the Christian. It's just that. Listen, a genuine disciple, again, should never say only God can judge me, because at the heart of our mission is the reproduction of ourselves and others, of what Jesus has produced in us. You with me this morning, church? I mean, listen to this. What has Jesus produced in us? Well, He's produced faith. Say faith. Obedience. Now, we don't like the word obedience, do we? How about this? Growth. Authority. Sometimes we don't like the word authority either, do we? Compassion. Love. And a bold, truthful message as his witness. Compassion and love should embrace everything we do. Listen, only God can judge me is a cop-out statement. For the Christian, it's a way to dismiss our own sinful behavior. Been there, done that. It's a daily battle, isn't it? And if we're not right with God, we'll employ that statement. Maybe we don't use those exact words again, as I said, to kind of just look the other way and move on. And for those that don't know Christ, it's a way of saying, listen, I form my own God. I have my own opinions of Scripture. I'm not going to bow to anybody. I'm going to do what I want because only God can judge me. And as I said, he will. Here's my proposition to kind of bring some clarity as we move into this. Here it is, right? In light of eternity, our life in the future, only God can judge me. Now, that's a great statement. Say hallelujah if you agree with that. I mean, do you see? Listen, I'm so thankful that when I get to heaven, I am not going to see somebody that maybe I've gotten along with or I haven't, somebody that has maybe irritated me. They're going to make it to heaven. I'm glad they're not sitting at that chair. And when I get there, they're like, aha, you have made it. I am here to judge you. There's only one person that's going to judge us. That's God. When I get into eternity, when I arrive, who's going to judge me? God. But understand this. Look at the rest of this. In the light of the temporal, or the here and now, God has given us the authority to minister his grace. He spent time with the disciples, and he commissioned them. I talked about growth groups. They happen best in authentic community. When we're doing life together, that is the mission. That is the mandate of the church. And people will be attracted to us. Why? Because we love one another, and we care for one another, and we minister to one another in ways that the outside world cannot fathom and cannot reproduce. But if it's the biggest struggle of the Western church, we need to understand this mantra and come to grips with it, because we are his ambassadors. Everybody say ambassadors. That's what we are. So let's look at the first one. Are you ready? Number one, we're going to look and see and understand what biblical judgment is. Understand what biblical judgment is. The reality is people are judging you. Are you with me? Hey, how many of you like to go people watching? Whatever. I gotta get this thing right. Whatever. How many of you like to go people judging? Raise your hand. Be honest. Raise it up and be honest. What are you doing? It's what the balcony's doing right now. They're looking at you and judging you. Look at her hair. Look at his hair. He's got no hair. All right, maybe they're not doing that, okay? And it's not fair that we're always picking on the balcony. Don't you hate when the pastor does that? So all of you here on the lower level, we're talking to you now, okay? But listen, seriously, we like to go people watching. And I'm not saying we should do it. I'm not condoning it from the pulpit. That's what you should do. But we go around and we judge people. We make judgment calls. Listen, try telling your boss, and the boss is sitting right here, you can't judge me. Felt good to say that. Felt real good to say that. Just going to get that out. You don't go to work and say, what are you doing? You can't judge me. How many of you have ever been pulled over by the police for speeding? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Come on, now you're going to get interactive this morning. How many of you have been pulled over by the police? All right, liar, liar, really spiritual. But you passed me the other day to going to church, and I was doing 60. No. You know, you don't look at the police officer and say, listen, Mr. Officer, I really appreciate your service. And I appreciate your faithfulness, community. We're rooting for you, but you can't judge me. You just can't do that. If we ever have to stand before a judge, and one day I've said we will, but here in the temporal, if you ever stand before a judge for any reason, maybe it's that speeding ticket that you wanted to fight, even though you knew you were wrong, you stand before a judge, I want to advise you, do not employ the tactic of, you can't judge me, ma'am, sir. That's not going to fly. So you can't run from biblical submission and authority. You can't. Turn to Romans chapter 13. Just go back a chapter, and let's look in verse 1. Let every soul be subject unto the what? Higher powers. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Look at verse 2. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall be received unto themselves what? Damnation. Look at verse 3. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. Verse 4, for he is a minister to God unto thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. That's a righteous judgment call there. It's just idiotic to think that people aren't judging us or that only God can judge me when God set up authority. Look at verse 5, wherefore you must needs be subject not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. Let me go to another verse that should appear on the screens here. Listen to the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 7 and follow along as we break this down. He says, judge not that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged, and with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considereth not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine own eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? And to break that down in King James English, I mean, a lot of people want to stop here and say, you see, only God can judge me. But let's listen to what Jesus says next in line with this same passage. And listen, church, pay close attention. Look at verse 5. Jesus says, thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. What does that mean? It means this. Jesus isn't talking about judging in these verses. He's talking about condemning people. We're not to cast condemnation upon people. We can't do that. But what Jesus is saying, and we'll see here in a moment more clearly, is that when we're right with God, when we have a relationship with God, it is our responsibility to minister truth and love to our fellow brothers and sisters. I employ this statement, and you need to understand it is biblical, and this is hard for people to understand. We are our brother's keepers. We are. If you just want to walk into a church and hear a sermon and then just leave and say, you know, only God can judge me. I don't want any interaction. I don't want anybody, people telling me what to do. Your problem is not with the church or the style of church or the preaching. Your problem is with God. So we are given the ministry of restoration, not condemnation. It's a slippery slope when you leave that responsibility, because when you do, you take on a God complex. We're given this ministry of restoration, not condemnation. Let it sink in. Let's look at the second thing this morning. That's this. We need to understand how to exercise biblical judgment. Only God can judge me. Well, that's true when I get there one day. But here, that's not true. But there is a way in which we are to judge, and it is a fearful thing. Everyone say, a fearful thing. Go ahead. A fearful thing. It needs to be done the right way. We just don't need a bunch of people running around going, I'm judging you. So listen, God has set a standard for his church, and he has given us, the church, the people, by the way, permission to help one another in the journey. We're to help one another. We've been given the liberty to judge in matters. We've been given the liberty, the command to judge in matters concerning the word of God. But there are stipulations. And let's look at these stipulations. Number one, it's this. We cannot judge the intentions of a person, only their conduct. We cannot judge the intentions of a person, only their conduct. We are good, aren't we? I don't know about you, but I fall into the trap of sometimes getting carried away and I'll begin to judge intentions. I know why they're doing that. They're just trying to, they're trying to get an advantage. Where does that end? That is so unbiblical, but we fall into that trap, don't we? We can't judge a person's intentions. We can only judge their conduct. Well, I know that there are other churches doing some great things. I mean, you can see some fruit, but I would never do it that way. I question the way in which they're doing it. I mean, if it's against the word of God, sometimes we judge intentions and take liberty a little bit too far. Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse 19. It says, every tree that bringeth forth not, every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is what? It's hewn down, it's cut down, it's cast in the fire. But what is Jesus going? He says, wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them. Here's number two. We must identify and judge false doctrine. We do have a responsibility to identify and judge false doctrine. Judgment by the church of those within its fellowship who are disorderly or embrace false doctrine is what God intended to keep his church pure and holy. Turn with me, if you will, to Titus chapter 1. Turn your Bibles to Titus chapter 1. And I'll begin in verse 10. Titus chapter 1, beginning in verse 10, it says, for there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision. Of course, this is alluding to legalism. Whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. One of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said the Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies. I think that reflects pretty well our culture today. Not all of it, but certainly in some ways. Verse 13, this witness is true. Wherefore rebuke them sharply that they may be sound in the faith. Speaking to believers, he says, rebuke them that they may be sound in the faith. There's no room for only God can judge this, or only is there? Look at verse 14. Not giving heed to Jewish fables and the commandments of men that turn from the truth. Unto the pure, all things are pure, and unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good reprobate. And then we see chapter 2, verse 1, but speak thou things which become sound what? Doctrine. Speak things which become sound doctrine. Here's the third thing. I want to bring this home. I think point number three here is huge. You got to get this. Everybody say, I'm going to get this. All right, Lord willing, that's what I'm praying. We must cast down a critical and fault-finding spirit. I mean, we are to be the most energetic, the most passionate, the most loving, the most understanding people in the world. We don't excuse sin. I'm trying to clarify this. But at the same time, listen, we can't get into this critical and fault-finding spirit. People are coming in here broken, and we want them coming through our doors. I got a newsflash for you. Anybody that thinks, well, we just want broken people to come in, if you're here, it's broken. Right? We're all broken. This guy's saying we're all broken. I want you to understand that God forbids anything that prompts us to condemn people without the facts and without remembering our own sin nature. Denver Ayers has no right to stand behind this pulpit. I mean, I fell into sin yesterday. It may not be super gross sin, but I am a sinner. I have to go to the Lord, and I have to stay in my Bible daily. That's worthy of an amen, is it not? Right? We're sinners saved by the grace of God. It's something that we never just say, I'm saved now, I'm holy, I'm righteous. No, we're sinners, and we have to constantly come before the Lord, remembering our sin nature. Before I go speak to anybody, listen, it's not easy. Only God can judge me. It's not easy. I have to be right with God. It forces me to have a relationship with God in such a way that I am always reminded of who I am. So if I go talk to anybody, it's going to be in a spirit of love and meekness and humbleness. That person knows, hey, if he's speaking truth to me, I don't like what he says. But at the same time, he's doing it in such a way that I know he cares about me. One of my mentors, Pastor Todd, spoke a lot of wisdom into me. When I was in the military, I made some grievous errors at times. And he spoke truth into me, and I've got to tell you something, it was rough, it was tough, I didn't like to hear what he had to say. I still don't. I'm working on it. It's not easy. But he always did it in love. I'm not trying to build him up. He's a sinner saved by grace. This is a good platform to say that. but he did it in love, and I always knew he cared about me. There was even a time I rejected what he had to say. Then I rejected it. I kind of thought the mantra, only God can judge me, because I excused what I wanted to do. But I learned real quick, he's always right. God and most of the time PT. He was exercising the authority of God, and he was right a lot. He was always right. But listen, can I just be frank with you? It's idiotic to judge the splinter in your brother's eye when you have this massive piece of timber in your own eye. If you got a massive piece of timber and then you're out there judging other people and you just enjoy pulling out all the negativity and Jesus doesn't focus on our negativity. He focuses on our possibility. That's the sign of a right heart. To see the best in people. And if you're not going about it the right way, you've got this beam in your eye and you're looking at other people. I mean, you may be a Christian, but you're employing the mantra of only God can judge me. Yourself, because you're forgetting who you are and what God's forgiven you of, and you forget the way that God sees you. John Phillips says this. He says, the power for removing an offending splinter lies not in the ability to detect, expose, and condemn. That's not where the power is. But in a Christ-like love that fills the heart with a desire to be helpful and kind. Why? Because you know who you are. And you know that God sees the best in you. That's the only way you can approach someone. Galatians 6:1 says this. It says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, remember only God can judge you and turn the other way. That's the wrong version. Sorry, let me get this right. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual. No. Restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, thyself. Consider yourself. I'm trying to lay the groundwork here. I hope you're getting it. Lest thou also be what? Tempted. We can probably know of Christians in our own life, people in our own life, who've maybe stood behind the pulpit, who have been in other places, and they've preached the word, but it wasn't real. And they're exposed for things we could never imagine. They've been preaching the word. How did they get exposed with that sin? I never saw that coming. There's something very fearful. If you're going to help people, you've got to be right with God. That right there might be one of the heart messages of this sermon. I've shared with you, we are our brother's keepers, and God says, you need to go and restore such one as spiritual. Here's the thing, we've got to be spiritual. I don't want to hammer too much down today, but I'll say this, we've got to be in a place where where we can hear the still small voice of God. We've got to be obedient and love. We've got to be esteeming others better than ourselves. We've got to be in a position where we're in an authentic community, growing together, getting to know people, knowing how to minister to people. There's no room for only God can judge me and not being involved in authentic community. Oswald Chambers said this, we have judged our fellow men a sinner. If God should judge us like that, we would be in hell. God judges us through the marvelous atonement of Jesus Christ. Hey, again, God doesn't look at me as a sinner because I have bowed my knee and I said, God, forgive me of my sin. God, I know I'm on my way to hell. I know I don't deserve your forgiveness. Would you please forgive me? And Jesus said, of course I do. And when I stand before God one day, guess what he's going to do? Guess what he's not going to do? He's not going to remember or bring up my sins. And all God's people said, amen. He's not going to do that. I will have to give an account and I will be judged for how I employed my spiritual gifts he gave me once saved. So there is an accounting. There is a reckoning. But it won't be for my sin. And if we go around judging people because we are a sinner, we'll be in trouble, won't we? We go around and we give people Jesus. Listen, here's the fourth one. We must cooperate with God in the judgment of the house of God. This last point is really segued well into this. but we got to cooperate with God in the judgment of the house of God. 1 Peter 4:17, for the time has come that judgment must begin in the house of? And if it first begins with us, what shall be the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? God wants us to cooperate with the fact that, we are to be a place where God can come and have fellowship with us when we gather together in an assembly such as this. Hallelujah. And if there be sin in our midst, we need to hold each other accountable. But boy, with the right spirit. There's a danger in being dismissive to the sinful actions of our brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. There's a danger in that. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 18, verses 15, 16, and 17, he says, moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him, what? Alone. If he shall hear thee, you've gained your brother. But if he will not hear you, then take away or take with you one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. And if he will neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen and a publican. Now I want to tell you something. Jesus, we aren't going around having a witch hunt here, okay? But there are times that we need to hold each other accountable. The premise of the passage is, and as we've already seen, be right with God. Understand who you are. Understand you are a sinner. And it is a fearful thing to go and approach someone. It forces us to be right with God and to confess our own sin and cast it before the feet of God. Then we go to somebody and we talk to them one-on-one. We don't want it to get out. We want it to stay private. We want them, maybe it was just something that they weren't aware of. But if not, then we take it up the chain, if you will. But what is the ultimate goal? The ultimate goal is to see restoration. There are times when people have to be handed over. Maybe they just if they're not going to listen to God, they're not going to listen to me. Maybe they've got to go, and they've got to Satan's got to deal with them. It ought to grieve us. We're not excited about that. We're not happy about that. We don't boast about that to our friends. We don't make that like, can you believe I had to do this? You would never talk like that, because you're so grieved, and it causes you to pray. We want restoration. There have been many times in ministry that I've had to begin the processes of what we call church discipline. It's humbling. It's a fearful thing. It's also something clearly indicates needs to be done in community. Let me give you three powerful statements. Are you ready? Three powerful statements. First of all, God never crushes a man beneath the fear of judgment without revealing the possibility of victorious virtue. What a great statement. God never crushes a man beneath the fear of judgment without revealing the possibility of victorious judgment. Here's another one. God doesn't appreciate what he doesn't initiate. Woo! He doesn't appreciate what he doesn't initiate. I tell you, if you've got a spirit that's really keen on you just nitpick and fault finding, you're initiating, perhaps even outside the will of God. You will be wise to let God keep the books. Right? Let God keep the books. Can I give you a humorous illustration? Is that okay with y'all if I give you a humorous illustration? All right, good. It's coming whether you like it or not. A famous pastor many years ago told a story of a young lady brought before the church for discipline because of a violation of the church covenant. Maybe rightfully so. But it was suggested that she be dropped from the role of the church. As the debate developed, the pastor came up with a plan. He said, let us also call the church treasurer and have him or her read the record of the giving of every member, and let us vote to drop everyone who has violated God's law against covetousness. Well, that bombshell cleared the air of accusers. Just as Jesus' words in John 8:7, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her, right? I think we need to remember, if we're gonna approach somebody, it needs to be in a spirit of love and a spirit of self-reflection first and time spent with God. You know, this mantra that only God can judge me is a myth. Everybody say it's a myth. We're to be involved in community. We are our brother's keepers in the sense that we want to see the best. You know, what I love about the staff, and Pastor Chad's over teaching to the kids, but the volunteers and our lady secretaries in the office who are just working hard for us and for the church. Do you know what our goal is? Your relationship with God, your spiritual growth, ministering to you physically, spiritually, and emotionally. We know that's a task we cannot do on our own. That's impossible for any pastoral staff or office to be able to take care of the needs of a church. That would burn us out. We wouldn't survive. Wouldn't do it. I'm preaching my second message in the morning. It's grueling. Pray for your pastor. It's a wonderful thing. A healthy church is when members are loving and esteeming others better than themselves, and they're caring for one another. And we just got to dismiss. Remember who you are in the light of God. Dismiss this whole nature that you know, I can't go and speak to someone. If you're right with God, you'll have a heart for them. You'll do it in a spirit of love. And we need to minister to one another. Go back to Romans, if you will, chapter 14. Romans chapter 14. Look at verse 11. For it is written, as I live, as saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. And those who are saved say, amen. I want to encourage you this morning. I don't know everybody real well, and some I don't know at all. For it is written, I don't care what mantra you have, only God will judge me. Let me tell you something. Every one of us shall give an account of himself to God, verse 12. And again, back to verse 11. As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. I'm thankful that I did it this side of glory. Amen. I'm thankful that I did it this side of glory. I'm thankful for the brothers and sisters who have invested in me, who didn't buy into the mantra that only God can judge me. I bought into that mantra, but people pursued me. People loved me. People who were right with God who looked at me and said, I see the best in Denver. I don't see the worst, and I'm going to speak wisdom in him. But first, they were right. Look at verse 12 again. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Go back to verse 8. Here it is. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the what? And look at verse 9. For to this end, Christ both died and rose and revived. Why did he do that? That he might be Lord both of the dead and the living. Jesus Christ came, not that his creation, the ones that he spoke us into existence. We have a longing for our Creator, whether we deny it or not. And if we want to employ the mantra, well, only God can judge me, it's a cop-out to the fact that we don't want to live the way God wants us to live. And at the same time, there's a reality that there is a judgment coming. So if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior this morning, this is the day to make it right. To dig in and find out who your Savior is and what he has to say. There are people who help you do that. And for the Christian, don't buy into the same mantra that causes you to turn the other way and say, well, you know what? That's not my business. That's not my place. Only God can judge me. Understand, I need to be tapped into the Lord, and I need to help and see the best in my fellow Christians. Amen. Jesus gave his life so that you might live.
Thank you again for listening to this audio sermon. We pray that it has been a blessing to you. For more sermons or if you have any questions, log on to www.fbcbelong.com.